Engaging presentations on the most urgent problem of our day and what you can do about it.
Now, the End Abortion Podcast by Priests for Life.
We are one movement, one people, one family, and one glorious nation under God. And together, we will make America powerful again. We will make America wealthy again. We will make America strong again. We will make America proud again. And we will make America great again.
Brothers and sisters, welcome to Praying for America. I'm pro-life leader Frank Pavone, director of Priests for Life, one of the nation's largest pro-life groups. And we've got a lot to share tonight on so many developments, starting with, of course, the trial of President Trump in New York. I want to give you some talking points that you may not have heard emphasized too much. There's more here than we'll be able to get to tonight, but an update on election integrity, an update on the debates, the presidential debates, what's going to happen with those, something about mistreatment of RFK Jr. because he's a threat to the Democrats, he's a threat to the Biden votes, and much, much more. Thanks for being with me. We pray over the news in this program. We start with the Word of God. We look at the developments in America in the light of that Word. And I want to go to Exodus because we're at an Exodus moment in many ways. You remember, God did deliver his people from slavery, but then the battle wasn't over because then Pharaoh and his armies changed their minds. They went back after them. They had the Red Sea on one end and the armies on the other. What did they do? Well, that whole unfolding story has important lessons for us. So let's read from Exodus 14 as we begin here, starting with verse 10. Okay, so by this time, the people had been led out of Egypt, but they were still at the Red Sea, and here's where it picks up. When Pharaoh drew near, the people of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians were marching after them. And they feared greatly. And the people of Israel cried out to the Lord. They said to Moses, "Is it because there are no graves in Egypt that you have taken us away to die in the wilderness? What have you done to us in bringing us out of Egypt? Is not this what we said to you in Egypt? Leave us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians. For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the wilderness." And Moses said to the people, "Fear not. Stand firm and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will work for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You have only to be silent." The Lord said to Moses, "Why do you cry to me? Tell the people of Israel to go forward. Lift up your staff and stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it so that the people of Israel may go through the sea on dry ground." Let us pray. Father, we face many enemies now attacking America, attacking those of us who love America, attacking those of us who love and serve you. They attack truth, values, faith, family, freedom, the unborn. They attack all these things with the same hardness of heart as Pharaoh had in attacking your people of old. Lord, it's the same battle. And we take comfort in that because you are the same God. You are the same God with the same heart of mercy towards your people, with the same determination to give them life and to give them freedom in your spirit. And so, Lord God, the battle is yours. We will fight, but we know that the victory is in your hands to give us. Lord, therefore, with eyes wide open, with a proper assessment of what is going on in our nation and our world, let us also have eyes wide open to your power in this whole situation, to your love, to your victory. Lord, once again, open the sea. Once again, destroy the power of the enemy. Once again, give victory to your people. Bless and save America. We pray through Christ our Lord. Amen. You know, we have even more than they had. They had faith in the living God. They had the Father who gave them the covenant, set them free from slavery. We've got even more. We've got the new covenant in the blood of Jesus Christ. We have the cross. We have the victory of the resurrection. Brothers and sisters, all these things we're going to talk about tonight and pray over tonight, all the battles that you are as well aware of as I am, engage them with confidence. Always with confidence, always with peace of mind and joy of heart. All right, speaking of that, President Trump has that. He can endure anything, and he's enduring this nonsense out of New York. Alvin Bragg, the trial began today. Now look, in all the different, you've got four major indictments with, what is it, a total of 91 counts, 91 charges against President Trump. Everything based on absolutely flimsy, stretched beyond recognition, abuse of the law and of the Constitution. And we've gone into that in various ways, as has Alan Dershowitz and other commentators. But, you know, in recent months, we've seen many, many victories of President Trump in, and we said from the beginning that this would happen because attorneys can introduce many, many motions and assert the rights of the person being accused and therefore delay these trials. The timing is so, not only the nature of these charges, but the timing of these attempted court proceedings is so blatantly election interference, what the Democrats are doing. And it's not just that they're trying to get a conviction so that they can say, oh, see, Trump voters, you're voting for a convicted felon. Oh, guess what? We're going to vote with him for him with even more enthusiasm than ever, because we see through this as the weaponization of government. But the point is that it's not just that the other side is looking for. They know that their basis for all of this is flimsy. But they just want to take, besides creating negative sound bites, remember political campaigns, sound bites and snapshots. But along with that, they're trying to take President Trump off the campaign trail. Now, they're not able to succeed in that entirely. Yes, he has to spend a lot of time in the courtroom. And this is part of the strategy. Let's take time away from the campaign trail. But all the rest of us are picking up the slack for that. We're going to shout his message louder and clearer. But also to try to take resources away. You saw the nonsense over recent weeks with the half a billion bond. And it's so ridiculous. And yet President Trump finds a way out of all these things because he's very smart, genius, and in fact, in dealing with money. But take away the time, the resources of the campaign. Hey, we'll see that also at work in the way the Democrats are dealing with RFK Jr. in a moment. So the dates of trials have been postponed again and again in these matters. But this is the first one now to start up, and they hope to get to a conviction. Now, look, this is in New York. This is Democrat Central, right? And the bias is just beyond dispute. So I don't think I think the outcome of this is pretty predictable in terms of whether there's going to be a conviction. Sure, they'll convict him. It's a New York process going on here against Donald Trump. But the fact of the matter is, it's not going to affect the election. He's going to be, his numbers have continued to rise. People know that these things are happening. Will more people find out? Yeah. But it's not going to affect the election. It'll affect some people, but brothers and sisters, President Trump has a momentum here that he is just he's completely running away with this election. Can't fight any less hard, nor be overconfident, but this is what I'm telling you about this particular trial. But I think this is the main thing. I want to review for a little bit here what's at stake. We've gone over it before, but it bears repeating just to get the details in place. But let me start with what I think is the best response to all of this? And Dick Morris was talking about this over the weekend. The point that it's outrageous that we're talking about these things, things that happened years ago with a porn star and hush money, which, by the way, that kind of agreement is perfectly legal, and some kind of technicality, misdemeanor at best in New York about listing something in a different way as an expense. Wasn't campaign money that was used. There's all sorts of falsehoods involved here. But it's like, here's the point. Are you kidding me? We have no better things to talk about and focus on in this election than this? When there's the risk of world war right at our doorstep? When the invasion of America continues at full pace? What's going on with the southern border, the economy, an international war and peace? This isn't enough of important things to focus on. And now, for 6 to 8 weeks, we're going to have morning, noon, and night news stories about some kind of aging porn star and some kind of technicalities about business ledgers. You know why there's 34 felony counts in this particular case in New York? It all boils down to the same thing. How did he record the expense of reimbursing Michael Cohen for money that Michael put up front to pay Stormy Daniels in order to have a non-disclosure agreement, which is ordinary things happening all the time, non-disclosure agreements, to pay her in terms of the alleged sexual activity with President Trump? What is the... you know why there's 34? Because check number so-and-so, count one. Check number such-and-such, count two. Invoice, this invoice here, that check stub there. That's why. Individually entering each one of these. It's a common tactic in lawfare. So, again, the saga began years ago. Aging pornographer Stormy Daniels claimed to have had an affair with Trump in 2006. He denied the allegations. During the 2016, okay, so 10 years later, presidential campaign, his former attorney, Michael Cohen, paid Daniels to sign a non-disclosure agreement. The money did not come from campaign funds. Cohen covered the payments up front, then sought reimbursement from the Trump Organization. So the Trump Organization reimburses him. The question is, how was that recorded? It was recorded as legal services. So what are you going to put instead? Payment for regarding settlement regarding extramarital sex? Is that what you're going to put there? So that your family can find out? Bragg, Alvin Bragg, disgraced that he is, elevated a New York State misdemeanor of falsifying business records, suspect in and of itself, by allegedly doing so to cover up a federal crime of hiding campaign expenditures. There's this chain link pulling and twisting and distorting effort here of Bragg to pull in a felony onto a misdemeanor charge in New York. Those who claim that this was a campaign-related expense and a violation of campaign finance law don't have much to stand on. The Federal Election Commissioner, as well as the Southern District of New York prosecutors, looked into this years ago but declined to pursue the case. Why? Because President Trump used his own money, not campaign funds. And reimbursing for somebody for a non-disclosure agreement doesn't fit the definition of an in-kind campaign contribution. Would he have paid this anyway if he weren't running for president in order to avoid family strife? Likely so, right? It's reasonable to say yes. So you're not talking about something meant to advance your chances in the election. But going back to the main point, here's what I want you to focus on. This is just for the purpose of understanding what's going on in this trial. And again, how flimsy the basis of it is. But Democrats don't care. They don't care how flimsy it is. They know how flimsy it is. Again, sound bites and snapshots, like Dan Bongino says. That's what it's about. They want to get those snapshots of him sitting in a courtroom. They want to get a sound bite, felon, convicted felon, possible convicted. This is the campaign from the left. They don't have anything else to run on. This is the campaign from, oh, well, maybe except killing babies. Of course, yeah, right. This all goes together. But the main thing, why do we have to be dragged through this in the American media at this point in time? Do we have nothing better to talk about and focus on? So Dick Morris goes into this. Fundamentally, he said over the weekend, Biden has no issues. There's nothing going for him. He has nothing to say. He has no issues. The Democrats, in a Hail Mary desperate move, are essentially saying, we're going to devote the next 6 to 8 weeks of this presidential race talking about Stormy Daniels and Donald Trump. So they don't want to talk about the disasters of their own failures. Who was paid? What were they paid for? Was that really hush money? And above all, these are Dick Morris's words, the tiny technical issue of were you paying them out of campaign funds or personal funds? I believe Morris said that the public is just going to go crazy. They're going to look at this and say, are you kidding me? With the international situation we have, dangers we face, the economy, and as the inflation is ticking back up, you're going to tell me to vote for Biden based on this? It's a good point. And he also talks about young voters and Biden's clown show with the unconstitutional effort to forgive. By the way, it's a fantasy, right? You don't forgive student debt. It doesn't get forgiven. It's just that somebody else and us end up having to pay for it. And Dick Morris says that young people see through this. I think that's going to cause a massive backlash among, Biden's trying to buy the youth vote, right? He sees it slipping away. Cause a massive backlash among young voters. I don't think debt forgiveness is really going to help them much. I think it may stick in their mind the other way. They may see it as just BS. They may also fear it's going to be reversed by the court. It smacks of such desperation and crass buying of votes. So congratulations, Biden and the Democrats. You've done it again. Done it again. You've shown how shallow, how much of a failure, and how corrupt you all are. Now, speaking of corruption, all right, so we've got this case. Shall we move into prayer as we deal with each one of these things? Because again, we pray over the news here. So let's send our prayers right into that courtroom, into the minds of the judge and the attorneys, and brag. Well, you can pray for anybody, but pray that this man just steps out of office, recognizes the corruption that he's gotten involved in. The abuse, it's an abuse of his office. Lord, we send the Holy Spirit, we the body of Christ, invoke the Holy Spirit on this entire proceeding and on everyone who will be talking about it in the media, that as our country is dragged through an absolutely ridiculous and petty situation, a desperate attempt on the part of Democrats to tar their winning political opponent and weaponize this election, We ask you to send the Holy Spirit on everything that happens in that courtroom, on all those in the media who will be talking about it, and above all, on our fellow voters who will be thinking about this as they see these stories one after another every single day. Lord God, we pray that they will continue to see through all of this as just an attempt to interfere in an election. Lord God, we ask you to convict the hearts and minds of the attorneys and help people in that courtroom to see this for what it is and to stop this clown show and to help America get back to the issues that we should be talking about and dealing with and resolving. And Lord God, we pray for our families at home who are also concerned that their children are going to be hearing details on the news every day about these alleged sexual affair, and Lord, so many families, they don't want these things being the topic of the news every day. Lord God, bless our families across America, the homes that so many parents tried to make a sanctuary of life, of love, of faith, of virtue, of decency. Keep this garbage out of our homes. We ask all this through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. All right, a second story, election integrity update. All right, so 70 million people voted by mail in 2020. That was a 20-fold increase. Of course, we know that the pandemic fueled that. Democrats want to keep that as the norm, of course, because as was pointed out in an article 8 years later, and the bipartisan commission looking into this, fraud is much higher when there is mail-in voting. It's just a simple fact. We gave you some updates the other day about some advances in election integrity measures. There have been lots of advances. Remember, 300 laws enacted across the various states to increase election integrity, and the process is still ongoing. And then scores of legal battles, some of them still ongoing. I want to talk to you about two of them. And the RNC is very much involved in this. And, you know, in all the key states, and I think a good majority of the other states, there are these election integrity councils that have been created, coalitions in each state. Various groups, I've been helping out with this myself a little bit, various groups combined and working on election integrity efforts in the various states. So two updates here, one out of Pennsylvania, one out of Michigan. Two states which, of course, are critical in the presidential race, and in which, in both cases, there can be some improvement when it comes to election integrity, although some good things have been done, but more so in Michigan. Pennsylvania is more of a problem. But the Third Circuit Court of Appeals, as we talked about the other day, ruled in favor of a lawsuit that was led by the RNC about signature verification for mail voting in Pennsylvania. So the RNC new chairman, Michael Whatley, said the following: "This is a crucial victory for election integrity and voter confidence in the Keystone State and nationwide. Pennsylvanians deserve to feel confident in the security of their mail ballots. And this Third Circuit ruling roundly rejects," now here's the point, "unlawful left-wing attempts to count undated or incorrectly dated mail ballots. If they're incorrectly dated or undated, thus violating state law, why should they be counted? The people on the left don't care about common sense. They just want to steal elections." Michael Whatley continues, "Republicans will continue to fight and win for election integrity in courts across the country." You know, they've engaged in 81 cases of election integrity litigation this cycle alone, with more to come. So again, the back history of this: November 2022, the RNC, the Pennsylvania GOP, and others secured a victory in front of the court, which... But then, in front of the Pennsylvania Supreme Court, they had a victory initially. Then a federal court, the district court, struck down the requirement for dated signature verification. So then RNC appealed to the Third Circuit Court of Appeals and won there. Three Democrat-appointed judges, and they ruled in favor of the RNC by 2-1. And this ruling will have long-lasting, far-reaching effects. Bottom line is very simple. You got a law in place that says you have to have the date and the correct date. You don't accept other ballots. Again, as I've said, you know, the other side claiming, oh, but we have to have make every vote count. We want more votes, more people to vote. That's like saying, yeah, we want more people to drive, so get rid of the requirement to have a driver's license. That's what it's like. Requiring a driver's license doesn't mean you don't want people to drive. It means you want them to drive safely and legally. Enforcing and bringing about voter election integrity measures doesn't mean we don't want people to vote. It means we want them to vote legally and honestly and transparently. All right, the other thing out of Michigan, the RNC has filed an election integrity lawsuit against the Michigan Secretary of State. Okay, Jocelyn Benson. Listen, get in line, Jocelyn, would you please? Would you please just get your crap together? Because what did she try to do? Secretly circumvent Michigan's absentee voting safeguards. RNC Chairman Michael Whatley, once again. Michigan's state constitution is very clear. Election officials have to verify the identity of voters who cast absentee ballots. What's wrong with that? Oh, we want every vote to count. Yeah, legally. Jocelyn Benson is yet again working to undermine election integrity by secretly instructing officials to disregard and circumvent these clear requirements. Michiganders deserve election integrity, not underhanded Democrat schemes, Michael Whatley says. Background to this? Okay, so the Michigan Constitution requires that local election officials verify the identity of absentee voters. How? By comparing the signature on the absentee ballot envelopes with the signature they have on file for that voter. It makes perfect sense. You've already got the voter's signature on their voter registration file. They send in an absentee ballot. Just look at the signatures and see if they match. 3 years ago, so this has been going on for some years. This Secretary of State, Jocelyn Benson, again, get your act together, issued instructions to local officials that instead of verifying the validity of those signatures, they should presume the validity. Well, that's not what the Constitution says. It says you verify it. Oh, no, just presume. So the Michigan Republican Party filed a suit and they won. And the court said those instructions that Benson was giving to presume instead of verify were unlawful. Great. But the RNC recently discovered something just a couple months ago, that this same Secretary Benson issued secret instructions to local election officials prior to the primary that was held in February in Michigan, that they must do what? Presume the validity of the absentee voter's signature. No. Verify it. Make sure it matches. But this Secretary of State, corrupt election interferer that she is, issued these instructions not through any public guidance. Oh, God forbid there should be a public and transparent process. But through direct communications with local election officials outside the public eye. Her instructions are unlawful now, just like they were unlawful 3 years ago. They are not in accordance with Michigan's Constitution or the Administrative Procedure Act. And therefore, a lawsuit has begun. Okay, friends, there are good laws in many states. But what this shows us, and this is also a concern in Arizona and Georgia, where there are good laws, there's a concern, obviously, that has to follow up on that. Enforcement. Will election officials, here you're even talking about Secretary of State, will the Secretary of State, whoever is responsible for the election process, follow those laws? And that's where all of us play a role, in noticing, keeping our eyes and ears open, demanding to know that any election official at any level is following state laws. Part of the battle is you put the right state laws in effect. Part of the battle then is making sure they're getting enforced. So let's pray over this as well, because God is a God of truth. God is a God of justice, and these things violate both. Father, we your people now pray for all election officials throughout this nation. Lord God, these are men and women who are under obligation to conduct elections in such a way that conforms to the laws of their state, the provisions of their state constitutions. Lord, give them the strength, first of all, to the integrity to follow through on these laws. And Lord, we pray, send the Holy Spirit right now upon their minds and upon their hearts. We pray that they might have enough of a conscience to not only act lawfully, but also to resist any unlawful instructions that they might receive. Let them blow the whistle. Let them refuse to carry out any instructions that violate the law. Lord, make sure they are informed of the law. We pray that they might take their responsibilities seriously enough that they are diligent in knowing every requirement of the law that they must follow as election officials and workers. And Lord God, keep your people vigilant. May we watch carefully for any violations of any kinds of election laws. And Lord, bless the legislators and bless the courtrooms. The legislators, that they too may act as needed in these various states, as many states have done even just recently to pass good, strong election integrity measures, that the confidence of the voters may be high and that therefore voter turnout may be high. But Lord God, we pray also for the courtrooms, the attorneys, the judges in these various election integrity lawsuits. We send the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the advocate, the divine attorney, the one who speaks up for us and defends our rights. Lord God, we pray that that Holy Spirit may shape what is done in every courtroom and bring about victory for election integrity. Lord, we have so much to pray for as we pray for America. We include all of these things now. And we include all the intentions of all our viewers, all the needs that we have. Fulfill our needs, Lord God. And we sum up our prayers in offering the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Well, God bless President Trump, and may he be a beacon of strength from that courtroom in New York, and just continue to inspire more and more people with the vision for making America great again. Thank you, friends, for all that you do. We'll be back with you tomorrow with a whole lot more. Let's pray for each other in the meantime. We'll talk to you soon.
This has been the End Abortion Podcast. To learn more, to help end abortion, and to connect with us on social media, visit endabortion.net.